One of the fabulous programs NASA's got involved in is the search for life beyond Earth. And it's not only in the solar system, but it's around planets, around other stars. Is there life out there? We haven't answered that question, but we will in our lifetime. And I believe the answer will be yes.
All right. Cut the music. We got a lot to talk about today. We always have a lot to talk about. We're going to just jump right in. And I'm going to tell you, this is a round robin of multiple news events and topics that you need to hear about and I need to talk about. So let's get into it. Christina reached out to me, correctly pointing out Aaron Carter and the fingerprints of MKUltra all over him. He was, and if you don't know who he is, I don't really know who Aaron Carter is. His brother is Nick Carter, who was in the Backstreet Boys. Aaron Carter was his younger brother. He was this fake, white rapper in the early 2000s. Never splashed my radar because he was a pop artist, if you ask me. Now he thinks he's a SoundCloud rapper. But he was on No Jumper podcast, the coolest podcast in the world. Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture, of course, the second coolest podcast in the world. But he was on No Jumper, acting stupid the whole time, and then he left and got a giant face tattoo of Medusa. I mean, he really thinks he's one of the greatest rappers of all time. It's mind-blowing. He even challenged Machine Gun Kelly to a freestyle battle at one point. And this is what happens to these Disney kids. Just like how Britney Spears is losing her mind, losing her kids. Father is being alleged to abusing them. So now her quote-unquote care manager, Jody Montgomery, is the conservator, a.k.a. the handler. But yeah, you see this Disney MK Ultra programming in many other child celebrities. Aaron Carter is the most recent. If you're into a good time, go check that interview out. In fact, he did like a two-parter on No Jumper because the first part was so insane. Henry, my boy Henry, sent me a message about Tiffany, the brand, not the singer, and the I Spy advertisement. Apparently, these protesters in Hong Kong are doing a one-eye symbol now to protest the police injury to someone's eye that happened over there. And Tiffany, the jewelry company, had an ad using that same one-eye logo. Thus, the Chinese government now hates them. And it's curious enough that not only do we have this one-eye symbolism going all around, of course, referencing the all-seeing eye, the pineal gland. We all know what this means at this point, right? Awakened into the ways of the Illuminati. Well, not only that, but it was a frog who looks exactly like Keck. Pepe, the frog. If you remember, I did a full show on Donald Trump and the meme magic. You can, in fact, I think I've got a YouTube video that I did that I put on the second YouTube channel. It's been shadow banned, but if you can find it, it's on there at my channel. The channel's Isaac Weishaupt. And you can also go to Instagram and see the image, actually. Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. You'll see the image there of the Keck the Frog. But yeah, Pepe the Frog. Because Pepe the Frog is a meme that started on like the 4chan referencing possibly Keck, the Egyptian frog god. But anyway, they are arguably charging up the sigils for 2020. Is Donald Trump behind all this? The chaos candidate is in fact behind the chaos magic. And I've got a little bit more on Donald Trump, I believe, if I do say so myself. I'm trying to find it on the fly. I don't see it. I don't think I wrote it down. But basically, we'll freestyle this one. He hired a guy, right? These presidents, they hire a bunch of people to do a bunch of things. And he hired a guy to be on the Board of Federal Education. Don't ask me to do what or what they do. Someone involved with education. And this guy named George Mentz, he wrote a bunch of self-help books, and they all had the name Illuminati in them. Can't make this stuff up. Illuminati, secret laws of money, 100 secret habits of the Illuminati, and all this. And it came up in the news, and they asked him about it. And he says, oh, it doesn't mean what you think it does. It just means an illumined person, an enlightened person. Maybe so. Or maybe Donald Trump is hiring the Illuminati. That's up to you to decide. David Bautista, the wrestler turned actor, got a new tattoo on his chest. And on his Instagram, you can see it. It's got the all-seeing eye, of course, the all-seeing eye. But what's more alarming is his caption. He wrote, I've officially crossed the line. Was he making a joke? Was he being for real? We can only speculate. Alien talk. Let's get into alien talk. That's the hottest topic. I mean, we might as well rename this podcast Alien Conspiracies. Because the alien agenda is heating up so much, it's out of control. NASA, a scientist at NASA, claims not only does alien life exist, but we already found it. We found it in the 1970s. It's this guy named Gilbert Levin. And the piece that I'm going to read to you from Scientific American, trusted news source, the mainstream media maybe. But anyway, this is what it says. On July 30th, 1976, the LR returned its initial results from Mars. Levin wrote in the op-ed titled, I'm convinced we found evidence on the life on... Oh boy. Sorry. I'm convinced we found evidence of life on Mars in the 1970s. Amazingly, they were positive. As the experiment progressed, a total of 4 positive results, supported by 5 varied controls, streamed down from the twin Viking spacecraft landed some 4,000 miles apart. The data curves signaled the detection of microbial respiration on the red planet. The curves from Mars were similar to those produced by the LR test of soil on Earth. It seems we had answered that ultimate question. The LR, which was led by Levin, took samples of Martian soil that contained organic compounds and looked for carbon dioxide. Astonishingly, the results seemed to indicate that carbon dioxide was being regenerated, possibly by microorganisms as on Earth. Thus, aliens. He said, we haven't even attempted to find signs of life since this discovery. So, he be hating on NASA. It's true. If you ask me, they're conditioning the minds of the masses to accept the alien life forms. The Mars PSYOP is coming in 2020. Mark my words. Mark my insane rambling words. 2020 is the year for the Mars PSYOP. NBC News has an article on UFOs called, We May Be Closing In on the Discovery of Alien Life. Are We Prepared? And it talks about how, you know, Mars and Earth will be close to each other's orbits in 2020. So naturally, NASA is going to launch robots up to explore for life on Mars, even though Homeboy said we already found life back in the 70s. It says they could dig up biological evidence of life within a few years. Then they basically say, basically have a news story of alien life that was floated 20 years ago. I'd argue this is a PSYOP, but I'm very skeptical. So, I'm going to read you from NBC News. They could dig up compelling evidence of biology, but he also said that the next steps are murky. Now, he wasn't saying that news of extraterrestrial life would inevitably disquiet the public. We know it won't, because after all, we ran that experiment more than 2 decades ago. In 1996, the blockbuster Science News Story of the Year was a claim that fossilized microbes had been found in a meteorite known to be a hunk of ancient Martian regolith, or soil. The meteorite, known as ALH84001, was a small sample of Mars that seemingly contained shadowy corpses of ancient microbes. This was a huge story, but the public's reaction was as calm as the dawn. Folks just wanted to know more. Sadly, the Martian meteorite story changed as the evidence was examined by other researchers. The argument for ancient microbes on the red planet was weak. So there you go. They're saying, and that's what they don't get is, like, no one's alarmed by it in the sense that there's no intelligent life, right? Like, you show me a walking, talking alien, that's one thing. These scientists that say, well, these could be little dead microbes, and these were signs of germs on the planet a million years ago. That doesn't, just like this article tells you, that the other researchers say, no, this wasn't what it was. Science changes its mind all the time. They want to pretend like it's ironclad, but look at the history of science. It changes quite literally all the time, constantly evolving. I'm not saying it doesn't work. That's why, you know, technology and science, that's why and how I am talking to you right now. I'm just saying they don't have every single answer, and they guess on a whole bunch of stuff. And now they're guessing on aliens. And we're supposed to just believe it. Because these nerds have been possessed by science fiction movies and Star Wars and such, right? Oh, the nerds, they're going to kill us all. They're looking to punch black holes in the earth with CERN. They're pulling these alien demons through another dimension. They want us to believe, accept, and worship the alien gods. Because all these crazy sci-fi novels from 150 years ago have warped their thinking. The best alien novel of all time is the Bible. We all know that. I got jokes. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Trigger warning. Take it easy. More alien drama. Get ready. Telegraph posted an interview with NASA chief scientist Jim Green. But he says, we're not ready for the aliens. Quote, it will be revolutionary, Green said in the interview. It will start a whole new line of thinking. I don't think we're prepared for the results. We are not. A Nobel Prize winner recently. This is all within the last couple weeks, by the way. Don't think I've been sitting on these articles for a long time. That's why I say this thing is heating up. The Nobel Prize winner said that we are going to find aliens within 30 years. From Independent, it says, quote, a Nobel Prize winning astronomer has predicted that humans will find evidence of alien life in the next 30 years. On Tuesday, Professor, oh boy, this name's going to get butchered, Didier Queloz from Switzerland, said he was convinced of the existence of extraterrestrial life after winning the 2019 Nobel Prize in Physics. I'll read that again. He said he was convinced of the existence of extraterrestrial life after winning the 2019 Nobel Prize in Physics. Lots of questions I have about that. Why does winning a prize make you believe in aliens? Maybe it's the bargain. Maybe it's the Faustian bargain. He must believe in the aliens to get the prize. Just an idea. He says, quote, I can't believe we are the only living entity in the universe, the Cambridge University professor said while speaking at the Science Media Center in London, according to The Telegraph. Quote, there are just way too many planets, way too many stars, and the chemistry is universal. The chemistry that led to life has to happen elsewhere, so I'm a strong believer that there must be life elsewhere. Life doesn't just mean a green man coming to you. Life started way before animals were crawling on the surface of the earth. Now, this is the argument we've heard so many times, and it seems to be what science is hanging its hat on. Is this idea, like the Drake equation. I think that's what it's called, the Drake equation, where it's like you do this math and be like, well, there's so many stars out there, so there's so many habitable planets, so thus aliens, right? And I've always, even back when I was, because I've talked about this on my Joe Rogan, David Fravor show, I go back and forth on the alien thing all the time. When I was younger, I really wanted to believe in it, and my eyes are being opened. I think it is a deception. I think there's a metaphysical thing going on. I don't think people are lying. I think people are seeing this stuff, but I think ideas are being planted into the minds of the masses, a collective consciousness. I think that Jacques Vallée was very close to the truth of his ideas, same with Carl Jung, that there's a psychological component here. And the idea that we see these aliens in so much entertainment, eventually it's going to manifest as reality. But I argue that these aliens are from another dimension, and they could be demons, demonic angels, whatever you want to call them. So, yeah, anyway, the argument we hear all the time is, well, there's so many stars and there's so many planets. Just look. Open your dumb eyes and look. Look up in the sky. There's life everywhere. We just can't see it with these giant telescopes that can go a bazillion miles out in space. There's life everywhere. You just can't see it. Give me a break, right? Until I see the alien body and the UFO craft, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying the official version, okay? Because you have to look at the history of this, and this is very controversial, and look, I'm biased on this a little bit, but like, I think that if you look at the history of science and NASA, and you've got these occultists like Jack Parsons, Wernher von Braun, the Nazis, they were all into destroying Christianity, and what's the best way to do that? Introduce a new existential threat or God or deity or story about the actual history of our world, of our species. I mean, they're trying to almost prove a lot of these ancient aliens theories correct, and they're simply not correct, okay? That's why the alien thing has to happen. That's why NASA and these scientists and Neil deGrasse Tyson, that's why they support this line of thinking of being like, well, there's so many planets, there's so many stars, there has to be alien life. Without actual proof, without actual scientific evidence, they jump to that conclusion. Joker, the movie, I haven't seen it yet, but there were lots of strange things happening with these threats, these terror threats about what was going to happen in the movie theaters, and rightfully so, right? That's, the Joker seems to bring out all these weirdos, all the weird drama kids who dress up with their trench coat mafia stuff. And of course, we've got the actual shooting of during the Batman Dark Knight Rises, but that was actually Bane. Joker wasn't in that movie. Right? But the guy dressed up as Joker. But he had a little MK Ultra shake for breakfast, maybe. But the Joker is, of course, a reference to the tarot card. Yes, that's why the Joker appears so often in all of this, these sort of weird events. The Joker, or the Trickster. The Joker card is, it's called the Fool. It's also called the Magician. It's all from tarot, which translates from Lamat, meaning the madman. And the tarot deck comes up in very many interesting circumstances. Like, did you know that TLC's Left Eye Lopez, who died, her last words were, hand me that card deck. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing. But when I wrote my book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, which is all about hip-hop, that was part of the research, was Left Eye Lopez and her very strange death. Very strange. She was actually seeing Dr. Sebi down there in Honduras, I believe it was. The same Dr. Sebi that Nipsey Hussle was working with or promoting before he died. But yeah, the last thing she was... And she was messing around with channeling Tupac's spirit. They killed a kid, and she said, oh, I felt this spirit follow me around. I was supposed to die. And then she dies, trying to reach for the tarot cards. Lots of weird stuff. Because ultimately, this magic stuff, I believe there's some very real consequences to it. I myself don't practice it, and I don't advocate for it, because I think mortal men screwing around with deities and entities and, you know, stuff from other dimensions is a dangerous proposition. So anyway, that was very curious about the Joker. The Joker, of course, calls upon the archetype of the madman. So I was actually surprised that nothing happened. Thank goodness, by the way, too. I haven't seen the movie yet, though, but look forward to an analysis, should there be anything worth talking about when I do eventually see it. Drake, the rapper, got a song called Behind Bars with very interesting lyrics, and it says, "Personal ting, if I'm getting up close, loyal to O, because I've taken an oath." You know, I've talked about Drake for many, many years. Mr. Minerva himself with the owl. You know, that's what the October's very own, his label that he made, the OVO. Well, that forms the two eyes and the beak of the owl. That's why he's got the owl symbolism all over the place. Because the owl is representative of what? Wisdom. Wisdom. And it is at Bohemian Grove as the big owl god to sacrifice the children to. The fake children, you know, they say it's not real. But that's what they're doing. They're burning up kids to this giant owl effigy. So when Drake says he's taken an oath, because he's loyal, loyal to the O, I don't know what the O stands for, the owl maybe? Probably means something else, but who knows. He says he's taken an oath. Megan Thee Stallion, another rapper, she signed with Roc Nation, Jay-Z. So, bolo for Illuminati drama from Megan Thee Stallion. She says, and here's where it gets interesting. I'm going to read you from yourweb.com. After she announced her new Roc Nation deal, Meg opened up on Twitter about her mother's passing and how it has impacted her. On Twitter, she said, "After my mom passed, I promised myself I was going to keep going hard because not only is music my dream, but it was her dream for me too. I have days where I want to go hide and cry because she's not here, but I know that ain't what she would want me to do. I know she's proud of me." However, seems that some fans are convinced that her mother's death is related to a sinister conspiracy, as Jay-Z has long been accused of being connected to the Illuminati. Yes, indeed he is. He is indeed alleged to be connected. Now, this is where things got real interesting. And the internet for the win here. Larry Johnson, this is a sports ball player. Not the Larry Johnson that I knew from the 90s who was on, what was he playing on? The Charlotte Hornets from UNLV. This is a new sports ball guy. I don't think it's round ball. I think it's pointy ball. And he's been going hard in the paint on conspiracy theories for some time now because his name keeps popping up. And his name popped up with this Megan Thee Stallion stuff on Saturday. Former NFL player Larry Johnson hit up Twitter to suggest Megan's deal with Roc Nation and her mother's death is the work of the devil. Her mother, who was her manager, died in the month of March 2019, the same month of her breakout, he tweeted. Music industry filled with the easily corrupt fatherless children looking for Satan to be the daddy they never had. Now, Megan Thee Stallion responded. She said, "Just because you found out about me around the time my mother passed does not make what you're saying accurate. I've been grinding for so long and would appreciate it if you weirdos on the internet would stop trying to associate my mother having a brain tumor with the effing devil." Very sensitive issue, right? But I think what he's saying to defend the conspiracy world here, I think what he's saying is that, and he didn't have a lot of great tact with it, I'll admit that. Because ultimately, these are just people, and these theories are just theories. They could be wrong, so like, it's very tragic if it's untrue, right? Now, what he's saying is that she only blew up that same month, meaning the Faustian bargain works like that. You sign the deal with the devil, and then the gatekeepers of the music industry open up the floodgates, and bada bing, bada boom. Now you're rich and famous. So he's not wrong in that sense. And she was saying, "Well, I've been doing music for a long time before that." Well, yeah, you've been doing it, but like, it hasn't been getting you anywhere. It wasn't getting anywhere till you signed the deal to give the devil them bodies. At least that's what the argument is. That's all the news. Now, I do want to give you a little catch-up. Back in May 2019, I did something very unique and interesting here. I asked my good people on Patreon what they want me to talk about, and they give me a whole lot of stuff, and I've been slowly chipping away because it took a lot of research to do some of the hard-hitting topics like the Illuminati bloodlines, the flat earth stuff, the 5G stuff. So that's where all those episodes came from. But we're going to chip away at a couple of the smaller ones. D. Covart. Covart? Sorry, I'm not sure if I know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Asked about Beyond the Black Rainbow. And D. Covart is, I think we've had some conversations before. I've seen your comments here and there. And like I said, I go on all the socials, so like it's a blur. So I apologize for not bringing any specific instances, but I have seen your comments. I think it was on Twitter. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I know who you are. I see you. Shout out, D. So D asked about a movie called Beyond the Black Rainbow. And I don't do too many requests on movies because I get a lot of those, if you could believe that or not. A lot of people drop in ideas of, hey, you should see this, you should do that. And I'll kind of like check it out. But if it doesn't grab me, most likely I'm not going to see it because I can't keep up. There's so much content for me to watch. And then I've got a Jersey Shore problem, you know, and I can't not watch Jersey Shore, which is getting real corny, by the way. I don't know if you watch Jersey Shore, but it's turned into just every other reality show now. You know, like they'll be like, oh, we're going to go throw some axes today. It's stupid. It was better back when Ronnie was knocking people out on the boardwalk. Anyhow, I know you hate Jersey Shore. It's fine. Beyond the Black Rainbow is this movie. And I will tell you, it's the best title I've ever heard. Very interesting. But the whole film has like a Naked Lunch, Hodorowski-esque David Lynch feel. So if you're into that kind of stuff, you might like it. It's also got some really cool 80s vibe, like some synth music. But overall, my personal preference is it's a bit slow. And my rating is based on time, because every minute past 90 has got to be worth it. You got to come with the heat. If you're going to make it last longer than 90, you better be tantalizing. And I saw a bunch of stuff in it. I saw a girl with an eye with the triangle in it, of course. We all know what that means. That's conspiracy symbolism 101. If you haven't, check out my post on the all-seeing eye and the triangle, IlluminatiWatcher.com. They have flashes from a book that have this weird connected human thing, and it looked like mycelium from the mushrooms, because I was reading a lot of research on mushrooms and psychedelics and stuff, and the mycelium is what connects them. So there was like flashes from this book that showed this sort of like connected consciousness sort of thing. And the movie's about this guy, Dr. Nile, which I take as a play on Dr. Nihilism, if you ask me. But he kind of reminds me of like the guy who plays Batman. Anyway, this doctor, he manipulates this girl at this facility. I mean, it's a very surreal movie, but I'm looking through to see if I've got spoiler alerts here. Yeah, but it's not going to make enough sense for you to care. But there are some spoilers here, and the doctor manipulates this girl through power surges, which are controlled by a triangle and a cube. That, of course, symbolism of Saturn. And the first half of the movie, it was kind of boring, but then, it said, run program Sentionauts. And then this cool, like, horror movie queued up, like a Goblins-esque. Goblins, the audio, you know. But Dr. Nile, he starts flashing back. He's taking these drops of something which show his third eye opening, visibly opening the pineal gland. So this whole thing is about the psychedelics, opening up the pineal gland, mind control. It's all in there. There's elements of that all throughout this movie. And then what's crazy is the doctor crawls out of a black sun covered in the black goo. Now that represents the alchemical blackening, the first step in the process of becoming the enlightened phoenix, right? But then a baby gets thrown in, gets given into the goo. They throw it into the goo. and it opens up the new age of enlightenment because the doctor says your mother's reabsorption into the cycle of life won't be for nothing, Elena. It will be new age for the human race. Then they play like this 80s video of Maui and Haleakala, and that was cool. But then he tells his mom, and I think her name is Rosemary, if I'm not mistaken, that he went to another world and looked into the eye of God. And they said God looked back through him like a black rainbow, which is where I believe we get the title from. Then there's more symbolism, like the camera is juxtaposing the triangle light with the all-seeing eye again. Again, referencing the connection of opening up one's pineal gland. But then Elena wakes up, she confronts a bunch of the weird horrors that I can't explain. Gets out of the facility, Dr. Nihilism here gets crazier. And we see his small grasp on reality, whatever this reality is on this show, slipping. And he slips into this darker alter ego. And then Elena is seeing these universal clouds and insects with some kind of new lens. And I'm thinking that the idea there is that her pineal gland somehow cracked open. Again, it's a very strange movie. I suppose she's been locked up a long time or she's taking a psychedelic trip. But anyway, the doctor trips up and busts his dumb old head on a rock. And then Elena finds a way back to civilization. Turns out she was in a fenced area. Crazy movie. I'll give you that. It was pretty nuts. So if you're into all that kind of stuff, if you're like Hodorowski, if you like Naked Lunch, if you like David Lynch, if you like trippy mental movies, that's a good one for you. And then my last subject today, before I have to sadly let you go. Dave on Patreon asks, what do my friends and family members think of my whole Illuminati idea? Well, okay, this is a complex question that I'll try to give you a simple answer for. Almost everyone in my family is supportive of it in the sense that they don't tell me to my face that I'm crazy. And I don't think they do behind my back. I'm kind of joking, but they seem to be okay with it, right? But as far as friends go, I used to let all my friends in on everything. But I found that got a really weird reaction. There's a reaction that I get from people when I tell them about this sort of alter ego of mine. And it's never a good one. It's very strange. They kind of clam up and they kind of let me talk. And I find myself doing all the talking and rambling. And I think it just sounds crazier as I talk. Because if you believe it or not, I've done this many times where I've talked to people about this whole side hustle here where I'm like digging into lizard people and stuff, right? And I'd say 95% of the time, the reaction, it's not negative, but it's not positive, that's for sure. It's more of a look like they're trying to process it and understand it. And it's always weird to me because I want to share that with people because I feel like if someone came up to me and was like, hey, you know what, I study Illuminati lizards and shape-shifting people and I do a podcast about it, I'd be like, get out of here, really? Let me check it out. I got to listen to this. And then I would come with questions. But I've never had that happen. I'd never have that happen. Nobody, after I tell them about it, listens and comes back and asks me for more information. Not nobody. I mean, there's a very small, like I said, 5% of people, maybe, friends, even family a little bit. So basically, you and me are in this together. This isn't for everybody. This is our little private time together, and I don't advocate. That's why you hear me say, look, you can't wake the masses up. They're gone. They're long lost. And I'm not saying that in an elitist way, like, oh, they're too stupid. I'm saying, like, either they're too busy or they're just trying to figure out how to get, you know, food on the table or whatever. It's too much to unpack all this other crazy stuff and say, oh, reality is completely different than what you think it is. Like, they're so far buried in other problems. They're like, whatever. Whatever, the lizard people can take my fear and eat it and sacrifice babies to Minerva and Moloch. I'm just trying to get to work here. So So yeah, that's the simplest way I can answer that question. It's a good question, though. I do appreciate that. And I'm gonna sprinkle in answers to other questions in the next few shows, because the big major hurdles have been overcome. Now I'm working on the book club. I'm gonna have a book club on the Dark Path. It's gonna take me a long time to get there, though. Just a heads up. So yeah, that's all my updates for the week, and I hope you have a great time doing the things that you're doing right now. And I always ask you for the reviews, and I mean it all the time, right? I like the reviews on iTunes because I want to get to 1,000, and I'm going to up the ante a little bit more, because I'm going to tell you that after I get to 1,000 reviews, I'm not reading them anymore, because I read every single one, and I mean that. And after I get to 1,000, I'm not going to read them anymore. So if you got something you want to say to me, I want you to drop that review on iTunes, and I'm going to read it. And we're going to get to 1,000, and then we're going to get the greatest guest on the planet, and we're going to do great things, and we're going to wake each other up, the 5%, the 5% here that are willing to hear this kind of stuff. And until next time, my friend, stay woke.